Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 30th day of April, 2010. The price of corn has rallied. Is it the Chinese or a possible interruption in the shipping channels because of the oil spill in the Gulf? We'll ask these questions and many more today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Brian Hoops of Midwest Market Solutions out of Yankton, South Dakota. Our panelists in studio today are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities from Newmarket, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and Mike Georgie of Allendale in Mahomet, Illinois.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, let's open our discussion today with this question. Wayne Nelson, should, in your opinion, producers take time Monday morning to market new crop soybeans or corn?
Well, Todd, that's a real good question, and we're not sure of the answer. We haven't been right for a week or so here because we're sort of supply bearers and not demand bulls, I guess. We think that this market has given us the little pop of the small Chinese buying or rumors of extended Chinese buying has given us a real opportunity to market stuff at a lot higher price than what we thought we were going to have here for a while. So if you're not up to the level you'd like to be, we think that's a good idea.
Kurt Kimmel, have you been more right than wrong in the last week?
I think we'll call ourselves dartboard commodities, maybe. Man, it's furious, straight up, straight down. It's a touchy market. And as a producer, that's probably why you need to consider selling on the up moves in through here. We're kind of at the mercy of the speculative news and the speculative funds. If that money ever decides to leave, we could see quite a downdraft. But two, we could come in here Monday morning and be sharply lower on news that maybe they're going to shut down the Gulf port due to this oil spill. So there is downside risk, and if you're not sold up, we would definitely be late into some corn sales first part next week.
We'll come back to the oil spill in a moment. How about with you, Mike George? You've been right or wrong recently?
Well, We've been talking about being right, but have we been in the market? Probably not. You know, I think the beans, you really have to consider selling beans because we do have a large world supply of beans. We do have a good price on beans. And the news is coming in, fresh news is coming in about the corn. So I think the corn has some upside potential yet, maybe as much as 20 cents. But the beans, I mean, they could go up too, but I think you definitely have to get some sales done on the beans.
BP has had some problems in the Gulf of Mexico, and those problems are drifting towards New Orleans. Will it cause a problem there for the port, and will they have to shut it down?
I don't know. I think a boat could go through a little bit of oil, but it depends how active the environmentals will get. It depends who down there gets panicky, but somebody that doesn't know how the export system works could very easily say something and we could be shut down for a while.
Is there anything besides sort of whispered rumors about this at all? Has anybody seen anything? I haven't seen it.
The news wires were full of different things printing on Friday afternoon. Todd, noticed most of the noon reports talking about the possibility. The basis was already starting to widen at the Gulf. I think the Pacific Northwest is holding in well, but also a talk of backlog of barges, and the bids on the barges up the river were going on down too. So I think it is a very big thing to look at here as to whether we can continue this rally with the idea the basis levels continue to widen to the farmer.
Now, what does it mean when you put this in conjunction with the proposed Chinese purchases of corn? Does that mean that the boys out west might end up picking up those exports at the time. I mean, they come out. May they come out of that side headed for China instead of out of New Orleans?
You know, there's a great possibility that can happen. There's the other thing that's out there, too, that also made the news wires big time was when you take into consideration what China has booked to come in beans, in let alone the corn, also in iron ore, in crude oil, you know, fertilizer and everything else, there's a question whether they can handle very much corn without their ports becoming a backup at that end, just like Brazil's ports were when they were trying to load out beans at the beginning of their harvest.
So it's all a fundamental question of whether we can actually move it around the globe. And then, of course, how much of it is there to move? There's an awful lot, and it looks like there's going to be a whole lot more by the time we get to the fall of this year.
Well, you know, we don't know if this corn deal is actually going to go through yet or not. I mean, they have bought it. It's through a third party, and we don't know if it's actually going to go into the country. But the other thing we've noticed is they've really been buying DDGs. You know, they're up a lot. They're expecting 2 million metric ton of DDGs that they're going to buy this year. Our ethanol production number just come out. It's 29% higher than last year. 14% higher is what the government says. So, you know, we have the demand for the corn, and them numbers can keep the ethanol price steady, can keep the ethanol plants making money. So, you know, that's a positive for corn. I mean, that's one thing I think that has helped this corn price as well.
We tried to determine a bit earlier in the week when we were on the closing mark report just exactly what was happening with the livestock system, and we're making some assumptions that maybe it's the livestock system that the DDGs, of course, and the corn and the bean meal are having to feed. What do you hear about their livestock system in China? I made some phone calls. It appears that maybe half of their production has now shifted to high-tech types of, you know, confinement system as opposed to two or three in the backyard, which is what the other half is. They do raise the largest number of hogs in the world by an enormous amount. What do you think about the livestock system? Is that where the production's going to? Did they have a shortfall that they didn't tell us about in their crop somewhere? What's the backdrop?
Well, I think all of that is true. You know, they were saying they were going to produce 165 million metric ton of corn. We're guessing 155. Some are saying even less than 140. So that's important to them. But their hog production is, I think, twice of what we produce. And a lot of these DDGs, the proteins, they're not slacking off on bean meal. Plus, they're getting the corn DDGs. So they're buying the protein because they are in a production mode.
Yeah, they went through blue ear, bird flu, and a whole bunch of hits on the whole livestock sector. In fact, they raise five times as many hogs as we do here in the U.S.
Yeah, that's an enormous number.
And as Mike hinted on, their corn production could be as low as 140 million metric tons. So some of these feeders are a little nervous trying to bring a little corn that way. If it doesn't work, they're going to try to ship it further north to these other Asian countries.
Okay, so we balance this proposed need, I suppose, in corn off against an ending stock in the United States, which is pretty good sized. Fundamentally, there's quite a bit of corn here. Do you think, Wayne, that this is the reason corn has managed to stay so strong through out of the month of April and the parts of March?
It was the excuse that they gave us. It is also one of the things. When we were much younger, we remember whenever they said the word Russia in any grain deal, it spurned the markets and caused this reaction. A lot of times when we would talk about the deals with Russia, actually Japan was buying and importing much, much, much more, but that was regular business. And this is business we haven't had for many, many years. So anything new like this is something that can add hope, add some excitement, and do whatever. I think that this was actually more of a case of enthusiasm and money flow than it was fundamentals. If we look at what they were trying to, what we project, even on the optimistic side, they would buy, it'd only take 400 or 500,000 acres more of corn planted to make up for everything like that. And as we look and talk to farmers, we talk to seed corn dealers, we talk to fertilizer people, we probably added that in the last week to our corn acres just because of the great planting conditions, the way the corn went in, and farmers like to grow corn.
All right, so we're back to the original question. Do you sell new crop?
As a producer, I think so. As a producer, I think there is downside risk. Now, as a commodity trader, that varies from hour to hour. But as a producer, I think you got to use up moves in here to get caught up to where you want to be.
Everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
Wayne?
I was the first bear, remember?
Your Papa Bear?
Papa Bear.
All right, corn numbers for the week. Papa Bear corn numbers were up for the week, by the way. May contract at 370 high, low at 45. Settlement price, 13 and a quarter higher at 366 and a quarter. December futures, 392 and a quarter, up 14 cents. Soybeans, May contract, $10.95 the high, the low at 977 and a half. Remember, we give you the high and the low for the whole week. Settlement for the week includes overnight and day trade, both 989 and a half, down 10 and a half Friday to Friday. On the May, November beans at 975 and three quarters, down 3 1/4 of a cent. What'd you make of the corn market for the week, Wayne?
The corn market definitely found enthusiasm with China. We started out the week. We thought we broke through all technical resistance. We thought the corn planting conditions was doing real well. We thought we'd missed every chance in the world for a while as to make some good corn sales. We were wrong. The fact of the matter is we got some enthusiasm. We saw the dollar sell off towards the end of the week, and we also saw some confidence come back into the crude oil market. So along with those and outside feelings, and the GDP was up on Friday. That brought buying by some of the funds back in. I know that one of the noon headlines says increase in GDP causes increased buying in commodities today. So a lot of that's coming back in. We're looking at a little better economy the worldwide. We seem to have a deal coming in for Greece, and I think that's a little bit of that straightening out helped the corn. Pushing back above $4 right now is going to be awfully rough unless we have some bad weather.
And then on the beans?
The beans, you know, we didn't have the news of anything big happening there. Our export sales were not that good. They're about down below our numbers we need to go. I'd say if you look at a chart for short term, you know, beans are definitely in a sideways mode for right now. In long term, they're in a down mode.
Down mode. Do you have an upside for soybeans?
Well, we done went through my upside this last week. I was looking at 950, bringing some resistance there above it, so definitely the trend's still higher here. The next objective was 985. We went a little above it and stalled out there. So I've been waiting for Mr. Gravity to come in on this bean market, but old crop bean demand's good. China continues to buy. We're not seeing the beans flow out of the southern hemisphere quite as fast as the trade wants them to. I think beans are sort of on borrowed time. Because even though corn plantings are going in earlier, we're picking up more corn acres, we still believe there's going to be more bean acres to follow, too.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, we're looking at higher numbers of beans. We're looking at ending stocks of this year on beans to be over 300 million again. But the positive thing of corn is we've got demand for corn. We have to produce a big crop of corn. I mean, we've got, 57 days supply worldwide of corn. Beans, we have the second highest ever. Wheat, we have the highest ever. So, you know, corn, we have to keep producing corn because the demand is going to keep increasing. And if we don't get the big yields, corn could really take off.
You know, if we have the highest wheat ever, why do we have to produce corn? Wheat's used as a feed grain around most of the world.
And, you know, and the wheat we have from last year isn't that good a quality, but which is try. I mean, wheat competes with the starches, so it's another reason we don't need corn, but they want corn for ethanol and exporting, and that's what's keeping people interested as well.
Here in the States, we use corn to feed livestock, not wheat in general. Wheat futures, by the way, a 502 and a half top, bottom at 449, a settlement price at 491 and three quarters, a penny and a half lower on the day, July at 503, settled 2.5 cents lower. Have you heard any more about the wheat crop, soft red winter wheat crop, south of you and in southern Illinois? There were some ideas that crop had gotten diseased, didn't make it through the winter very well, and that they had torn up quite a bit of the acreage that was not very much to begin with and probably put it back in corn.
I think you're right on a certain degree of that, Todd. We know as insurance adjusters will tell us that they did pay for a lot of wheat acres being destroyed. There wasn't that much to begin with, so we didn't lose that many acres as far as that goes. But, you know, this last spurt of cold and freeze, basically they said didn't hurt the wheat crop that was left.
All right. Any word on livestock? Futures there finished like this. The April live cattle, a $99.95 top, bottom at 96, settled 70 cents higher at 99.92 and a half. May feeders at 112.80, up 22 and a half cents. Hogs were $2.12 and a half higher in the leans at 89.52 and a half for the May contract, with a high of 89.60, a low at 86.47. Will this come back to roost when you have a hog price that's up near 90 bucks? How quickly will it fall?
Well, that's a good question. We've seen a lot of liquidation consolidation in the industry. We'll see what one extremes follows the other. But we're talking 60-plus cash hogs here throughout this summer. So from fathom to feast, back and forth in through here. So it's going to give these hog producers a lot of relief here as we go through the growing season.
You are, of course, listening to Commodity Week. This edition was recorded on the 30th day of April. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. When we return, we'll talk with Brian Hoops of Midwest Market Solutions.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Rain early last week benefited recently planted corn in most of Illinois, although the rain was a little too heavy in some areas. The rain was followed by several days of sunny, dry weather this week. Temperatures this week were running below normal across Illinois, largely as a result of much below normal minimum temperatures. Frost and freezing temperatures were recorded in northern and central Illinois on Wednesday morning under clear skies and light winds. Temperatures this week range from a degree below normal in eastern Illinois to almost 4 degrees below normal in western Illinois. Despite this round of cooler weather, temperatures for the month will end up being above normal. The heaviest rain this week was over western and parts of southern Illinois, mostly as a result of the slow-moving storm that moved through the Midwest last weekend. The remainder of the week was dry until Friday, when yet another storm system brought showers and thunderstorms to the state. Following this weekend storm, the weather will only slowly improve next week. There will be another chance for showers and possibly a few thunderstorms beginning about Tuesday and lasting into Wednesday. The rain will be associated with a vigorous cold front that will serve to keep temperatures below normal much of the week. Warming could begin by Friday as high pressure moves off to the east and winds swing into the south. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
Support for Commodity Week comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded on the 30th day of April, 2010. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists in studio today include Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, Kurt Kimball of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Mike Georgie of Allendale out of Mahomet, Illinois. On the phone line with us is Brian Hoops of Midwest Market Solutions. Market Solutions was established in March of 2010. It's a full-service commodity brokerage and marketing advisory service. They clear through R.J. O'Brien. Brian, thanks so much for being with us again. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing good, Todd. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate being here. And we actually were established in 2002. I think you said 2010.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. I did say 10. No, you've been around a bit longer than a couple of months, I suppose. Well, since you've been around a bit longer than a couple months, did you do better than the rest of these guys for the week, or were you behind too?
No, we are changing our name of our company to Flip a Coin. We're lucky to be 50-50, so just like everybody else.
All right, so we're going to flip a coin, but as you look at the whole of the commodity markets, how do you plan to play out through the harvest season for new crop corn and beans?
Well, we always try and encourage our customers and people who talk with us to find a marketing opportunity and use that to become a little bit defensive because, you know, your farmer is always bullish. They've got crop in the ground. They're always on the need to be on the defensive, and most of the time they're not. We've had a rally here in new crop beans from about the $9 area up to $9.80. To me, that looks like a marketing opportunity. And the same thing could be said with corn here with us spiking to new lows early part of this week, then having a rally late week. You know, went from 367 up to 392. We're getting close to hitting some retracement levels in the corn. And I think once we do that, we need to start becoming defensive. Same thing in the new crop soybeans. I listened to your panelists there, and they're kind of echoing those sentiments. If you need to get some sales made, need to get caught up on your personal marketing, here's an opportunity to start getting caught up and start becoming more defensive than what we have been over the last several months.
In the intervening time from the time we stopped to the time we started talking with you, there was a quick discussion in studio about the technical side of the market. You mentioned it, but on the technical side, things really closed the week pretty well.
Yeah, you know, it's an encouraging sign, and it's, you know, due to the China news, and you can see that these markets have ability to move higher, even though for most of the winter it felt like we couldn't move higher. We finally had some news to turn us higher. And then now the thing is, or the question is for producers, how high can we go and at what point do you become defensive? If we're looking at marketing strategies, you know, you get December corn back over $4 into the 409 area. I have my charts say 50% retracement is there, 62% is at 418, so you kind of have your zone of where you need to start making some sales or get caught up, buy your December puts and get your protection levels established, and then you can kind of sleep easy throughout the rest of the growing season. If China becomes an aggressive importer, if it turns hot and dry, all those things can be answered at that point because you have downside protection and you have upside potential with the put options, and hopefully you've made some decent cash sales along the way.
How's planning going in your area? Are you complete? Do we have anything out of the ground, or how are you doing?
Well, you know, we're kind of in the same boat that you guys are in. A lot of, well, three-fourths of our producers anyway around the country tell us their crops are up. They can row things as far as corn. There's a few guys in the northern Dakotas and parts of South Dakota, Nebraska. They're the ones that are a little bit further behind, and you know, they're not too excited yet because they don't usually plant corn in April, but they're going to get caught up here, and it looks like forecast-wise they're going to get stuff in the ground and planted, and everybody could probably be going with soybeans that's done with corn, but they just want to wait till at least the calendar says May before they start putting beans in the ground.
Are your customers, are they telling you they planted more corn they intended on or just what they intended on?
Yeah, what we're hearing is just right what they intended. You know, everybody wants to get back into that traditional rotation between corn and soybeans. I haven't heard anybody really say that they have a desire to plant a lot more corn than what they had anticipated before. But, in fact, with the recent rally that we saw in soybeans until this week in corn, guys were saying that beans were a little bit more attractive to grow just from a price standpoint, and they were considering not planting as much corn. But now with corn spiking up this week, that mentality's changed back to let's go ahead and plant some corn.
Brian, as we go through the growing season, I know we all know that the yield's going to affect the bottom line on the supply-demand balance sheet dramatically here, but what other fundamental events or fundamental things on the supply-demand balance sheet do you think we need to be looking forward to as we go through the growing season other than yield?
Yeah, of course, yield is probably the 90% of our pricing influence, so you hit that one already. You know, I expect that the export business is going to be subject to what happens in the Gulf to a large extent. That could curtail off and weaken here as we go into the summer. Certainly want to look at our feed usage and ethanol supply and usage there. Those are a couple big components, especially over in the ethanol side of the equation. That's where we've had such a tremendous growth recently, a little cutback in demand, obviously, in the livestock sector. So we're keeping an eye on that ethanol and, of course, on exports as we go through the spring here, and one eye down on the Gulf.
Is there anything that you're looking at as far as the production number or the ending stocks on the corn and beans that are telling us we need to get things done now, or what's the potential higher price in these beans and corn before we head south?
Well, I think the potential kind of lies with what China wants to do. You know, we knew there was potential for corn to rally if we got the right circumstance. I suspect it would be more weather-related than China-related, but China gave us the news of buying corn this week in a pretty large quantity. That, I think, is giving us an upside potential here. And It's hard to say how high we can go because you don't know how much corn China is going to continue to buy. If they're done buying, we may just start to slip back here and never get to those retracement levels I mentioned, but I'd say between 405 and 420 is a pretty good zone to start making some sales into, and if we get above that, you know, that take that as a bonus.
But, you know, we were talking earlier here, too, that the China back in 94, 95, I think they bought about 4 million metric ton 1 year. That's about 168 million bushel. That's really not going to affect our inning stocks that much. We're at 1.9. You go down to 1.7. I mean, this has to be a money-pushing market. There's really no fundamental reason why we should be this high, is there?
No, I agree with you. That's exactly right. It's not so much how much corn China is going to buy and take off the market, because it really doesn't affect our inning stocks that much. Certainly, a drought over Illinois and Iowa this summer would affect it a considerable deal more. Or if we can increase yields another 2 or 3 bushels per acre over last year, is going to affect our inning stocks more than what China buying is going to do. Right now, it's a mentality by the money that's flowing in and out of the markets that the funds were short, heavily short, and now we're seeing some buying back of those short positions because of concerns and rumors about China and no one knowing what extent they're going to be buyers. The market always trades fear before fact, and the fear is China's going to step in and be an aggressive buyer, and so prices have moved higher.
Danny, the weatherman that you're listening to, have they projected a good summer, average summer, or some problems for the weather this summer?
Other weather services we look at, you know, they've been on the side that we are going to be a very wet spring and then turn a little bit hotter and drier this summer. And I think they've kind of changed their tune a little bit from that. There's still potential, and I think that's the way they are classifying it right now, potential for a dry June, July, and August, but not a great chances of it. No forecast for any type of a dome or anything like that. I think everybody's looking for a little bit milder conditions, almost similar to what we saw last year now.
Have you thought very much about the flattening demand for corn by the ethanol industry and what that means over the long haul? When you look at the USDA projections, we're up on the top end of the climb at this point. What does it tell you about the 2010, 2013, 2014 years? Anything at all?
Well, if you take those numbers at the face value, what the USDA is saying, I think you have to look at it from the standpoint that, you know, we probably won't continue to have this type of growth in that sector that we've seen over the last 5 years into the next 5 years. So I think you have to be more recognizing that this is getting closer to a peak in demand and ethanol demand than the exponential growth that we've seen here recently. I don't think we're going to see the same type of growth as I mentioned. It's more where we can probably sustain small steps, but not counting on anything more than that.
Brian, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, take care, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You too. Brian Hoops is with Midwest Market Solutions. They were established, of course, in 2002. They're in Yankton, South Dakota. Now time for a final word from our panelists in studio, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
We'd just like to remind all the farmers to be careful out there as they finish up their planting and spraying and avoid those accidents.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities.
As mentioned, 1 million metric tons in corn is about 40 million bushels, so you can do the math on it. And like we mentioned before, what affects the bottom line more than anything is yield, so weather's going to be the dominant pusher.
And Mike Georgie of Allendale.
We all know you're busy planting, but if your price gets hit, make sure you make some sales here.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can always visit us online and listen to the program anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week and all our other agricultural programming, including pre-opening and closing and opening market reports, a midday report, a way to sign up for our weekend newsletter. It's all at willag.org. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.